1,270, more than enough to become the 44th president of the United States. He will be the first African-American president of the United States.
I've been broke all my life, but I can't hope. A different time then, wasn't it? Hope and change, now anger, fear, and hate. It seems that American politics has changed a wee bit in the last 15 years. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My special guest host this hour with me is Tom Walzowicz. Always great to have you. We had CJ on the phone. I was going to take his call. I was so excited to speak with him. So, CJ, if you're out there, we were getting to you. We got to get set up. We got to get the show going, man. Patience, my friend.
Come on back, CJ.
It is rewarded. We've been talking about the appointments to date. We're going to get into more of the Matt Gaetz of it all, I guess. Some funny texters. Michaela, always great to hear from you. What in the Florida man is happening to our government? Chris from Janesville. I thought I was saddened on the 6th, but after Dom spoke yesterday, I watched Idiocracy, the movie, which is an oldie but a goodie. I see no difference at this point. Thanks to you folks are speaking about what's actually going on. Len from Madison. Whenever I hear Rump referred to as president-elect, I immediately think that it should be change to president defect. I like that one, Len. I'll be using that. Matt from Middleton, do you think it's necessary for the Trump administration to be a disaster in order for the country to get past him or the MAGA cult? It's a great question. And Tom, I'd like you to address that. Here's just some of my thoughts as I watched what are the most ridiculous of the appointments come in. Like, we knew Stephen Miller was going to be working in the Oval somewhere or adjacent, right? We knew that he was going to put Tom Homan back in charge of immigration enforcement. We knew Tulsi Gabbard would be in the mix somewhere, right? I didn't think he would go so far as to pick some of these clear know-nothings, but it's obvious that again, the loyalty is the operative thing, right? Like, you're going to do what I say when I say it, and you won't ask me about it. The most interesting take I heard yesterday, right before we got off the air, was from a caller who said, I think he picked Matt Gaetz basically as a litmus test for Senate Republicans. Like, you are going to fall in line, and you're going to ram this nomination through. I also think, I layered on that as I noodled it over last night, that perhaps in response to the Senate selecting Senator Thune to lead them, who was not the MAGA preferred candidate, that was Senator Rick Scott from Florida, that Trump was like, oh, you're going to do me like that since you got a secret ballot and I don't know who voted for whom? All right. Give me some Matt Gaetz as attorney general. What have your hypotheses of explanation been, Tom, on the Matt Gaetz nomination? And really, the bigger question, which is how bad does Trump and the MAGA cult have to move on?
Yeah, and I think there's two things happening. One is areas where he thinks he's going to need somebody who knows how to get things done.
Yes.
Like, there's an active agenda that he wants to have pursued.
Yes.
He's appointing people that he thinks know can get things done. But then somebody like Matt Gaetz, he's looking at going, I just want him to clean house and I want him to do my bidding, right? So there's not an agenda on the DOJ side. There's not anything that says here's exactly what he wants to accomplish. He just wants to make sure that nobody can come after him while he's doing whatever it is he's doing. So I'm trying to parse these into two different areas.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I'm relying on the fact that he's ADHD and incompetent at the same time because he can't seem to keep a single thought in his head and therefore he can't seem to stay focused on anything he's working on. I mean, how many infrastructure weeks were there in his last administration? You know, there was probably at least 50.
Yeah.
And nothing ever happened. So there's that component of it. What's scary to me is he's appointing some people who are going to be off and running and don't need him to do anything.
Yeah.
And that would be the, you know, Homeland Security. That would be a whole bunch of different areas where you look at and go, they've got an agenda. They've told everybody their agenda. They're going to follow through on their agenda. And there's no checking in. There's nothing Trump has to do. Trump just, you know, and the thing I've been contemplating is do we have to listen to him every day again? And, you know, I can't do
it. I'm choosing not to. Right. Well, like, this brings up the big meta question to me, Tom. Mm-hmm. And these appointments are a really good example of the bigger picture question, which has been on my mind predominantly over the last week. And that is the idea of owning the libs, right, is this sort of cri de guerre that you hear from the right. And the libs, to the extent that are liberals and conservatives anymore, and I'm not sure there are, there's just like MAGA and then everybody else.
Right.
I think it's about, again, flooding the zone with so much crud that people don't know how, like, what do I pay attention to? Like, what's really going to have impact? What's just smokescreen? And so as I've been thinking about this and I've been talking about, here are the five reasons that Donald Trump won the election, right? The existential angst, which is real because the middle class has gotten screwed by Republican policies in tax and wage and labor and all that. The Democrats, frankly, did not stand up against with enough fervor over the last 50 years, coupled with credible, authentic messenger, coupled with all of the isms in the world so that you can scapegoat people who have never really had their hands on the reins of power ever, coupled with the information sewer led by Elon Musk, the bro of bros. And then finally, the idea of false scarcity, right? And then metastasized selfishness and false scarcity. And you add all that up and you get a Donald Trump. I mean, you just do. Yes. And so when we think about this in the big picture, to me, the question becomes, how do we decide where to resist, right? How do we decide where it is most crucial for people who care about government, fairness, morality, doing the right thing? Where do we figure out this is the hill to die on? Because you can't die on all the hills every day. Our heads will explode, or as I like to say, my hair will light on fire. And that is, how do we decide? Because we can't pay attention to all of it. Like, are Democrats really going to oppose every single one of his nominations? Probably not. Who's deciding where we make the stand? And is it coming from the people, which is where it should? Or is it going to come from electeds? How are they deciding? All of those kinds of questions. Tom, we're going to start right there when we come back with you and all of our callers. I'm going to talk a little less. You're going to talk a little more. I'm Maggie Dawn, special guest host Tom Paulswitz. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Your calls, texts, and Tom's thoughts on how do we decide where to resist and fight when we come back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where you can count on real news and great conversation every day. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.